The Bible truly is an amazing book. A book that's filled with God's truths, God's direction. A book, by the way, which was composed for our benefit. For a people who would be lovers of the book. For people who would want to be instructed by the book. The scripture reading was from 1 Corinthians, and I hope that if you have your Bible, or if there's one in front of you, that you'll turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me, because in this book, some of God's truths are revealed. It's so amazing that in Corinth, the church of Christ that met in that city, that God would record for us that church, warts and all, for our benefit. It's like he intended for you and I to read Corinthians and say, you know what? That's a lot like the church I'm part of. That it sometimes has struggles. It sometimes has difficulty. It sometimes has periods of great blessing. But then something will pop up. And there'll be difficulty and there'll be more struggle. I really like earlier than our reading in verse 7, which says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. See, every person in the body of Christ is designed in a very unique way. Have you looked around this morning and noticed the differences? We're not alike. It's not a robot thing. There are unique differences. They are designed that way so that we could manifest the Spirit of God like nobody else can. And so when the wonderful grace of salvation that we have mixes in with the common grace of our own personhood, there's a unique manifestation in our human life of the Spirit of God. You exude that in your way. I do in my way. We were designed by God differently to do just that. That's what the Church of Christ is for in the world. That is what our purpose is. We're to pursue the manifesting of God. And when we do, what happens is the common good. It's really amazing when you look at it. He says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, these goals are not at odds with one another. The common good of the body through the manifesting of God, and the manifesting of God for the common good. So the good of people and the glory of God happens together through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's going on all the time. And we don't stop and think about it too often. Maybe we should. But even when all of that is going on and that good is happening, sometimes there's some ailments in the body that keeps us from that very goal happening like it should be happening. That's what I like about chapter 12. Because here we are in a passage where Paul deals with that happening in the Church of Christ there, so that you and I can read about it and say, you know what? That happens in the Church of Christ here. Those same ailments can pop up from time to time. Excuse me. And the one that he's talking about here is the ailment that sometimes people in the body feel like they're useless. If you've ever led a ministry and you've invited other people to help you with it, I know that you have heard, oh, I can't do that. You'll have to ask somebody else. I can't do that. And it's amazing that in Corinth, in the church, there were people, brothers and sisters, by the way, who were running around saying, I can't do that. I'm in the church, but I'm the useless part. I mean, there are those who can do, and then there's us. And so that was going on right there. And then he talks about another ailment, and that is there were those in the body back then who were self-sufficient. You know, they could pretty much do a lot of standing on their own. And so when somebody would come along and say, you know, I really like that you're part of the church. Well, I don't really need the church. So there was this group that felt useless and this group that felt like, well, I don't need anybody else. And so you would hear people make comments and in conversation, well, you don't need me, you need somebody else. Or you'd hear somebody talk about, well, you know what, I could do that and I really don't need any help. And that was going on in the church. And Paul, in such a wonderful way, diagnoses the problem. And then he says, let me tell you how to remedy that the way God would have you to. It's so interesting. I want you to look with me right here how he diagnoses the problem. And when we read about this in verse 15 and 16, he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, I'm useless. Boy, if I could just be like a hand, I'd be somebody. I'd be important. But I'm not. And he says, it's not for this reason any less part of the body, if they said that. And if an ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason that any less a part of the body. Now picture what some of the members are doing right here. Notice what the ailment is. It's that feeling that a Christian man or woman would have, or the opinion that that man or woman would have, well, I'm not like brother so-and-so, and I'm not like sister so-and-so, so I'm not needed. You say, Tom, wait a minute. Paul gives us two examples of this happening. He says right here in verse 15 that a person with foot gifts, a person with foot graces, looks at a person who has hand gifts or hand graces in the body and says, well, I'm not like them. I'm just not like that. So I'm not any good to the body at all because I'm not like them. And this was going on in the Church of Christ in Corinth right here. And I just might as well not be part of the body. I might as well just leave because I'm useless. And it was happening, you see. And his comparison, you know, makes this person say, well, I'm just useless. I'm not important. I don't really belong. I don't have a worthwhile role to play in the church. And so I'm useless. Have anyone ever had a feeling useless moment? We won't get to Waterford yet. Now, what's the other case that he gives us in verse 16? He said, now here's a person who has the ear gift or the ear graces, and they look over and they see a person who has the eye gifts and the eye, you know, graces, and he says, you know what? Compared to them, I'm not good to the body. I might as well just not be part of it at all. And you say, well, wow. Now that he's just diagnosing the problem that could pop up in any church around the world. And he says, I want you to look here in 1 Corinthians 12, and I want you to learn that that happens, that a person can go around saying, you know what, the gifts I have are just not important ones, and so I'm not needful. Nobody needs my help, and I couldn't help anybody if I wanted to because I'm just useless. Now he says, I want to solve this one for you. He says, listen to God's solution to this. Listen to what he prescribes. He prescribes what reality really is. See, what we've just been talking about is not real. It's an opinion. It's an idea. It's something that a person has sold themselves on. But he starts right off and says, guess what? The feeling or opinion of uselessness is not true. It's not true. There is not a useless one among you. Not one. Oh. See, verse 15 and 16, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, is not for this reason any less a part of the body. Paul boldly, and he just really comes out and denies the conclusion that this person has made. You've compared yourself with somebody else. You have thought up the idea that you're not important, that you're not needful, that you're useless. You have come up with that, but your conclusion is absolutely wrong. It was wrong in Corinth, and it's wrong in Waterford. The same thing he brings up in verse 16, if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason I'm less part of the body. You may think and you may feel, but Paul is saying what you're thinking and what you're feeling is absolutely not the truth. Now let's get to truth. Because what you're feeling is wrong. Well, I'm not important. I can't do this and I can't do that. See, arguing yourself into a sense of uselessness is a wrong thing for any Christian man or woman to do. Amen?
Amen.
You're not useless. You're not unimportant. When you feel that way, if I was the devil, I'd get everybody to feel that way. That way nothing would get done. And it's just not true, because you are important. Now, watch where he goes with this. Part of his remedy is saying, you know, for this feeling of uselessness is to show that the body of Christ, the church, depends on the diversity that we're resisting when we say, I can't be like somebody else. Because if you watch what he says here, we compare ourselves with other people and we conclude that because of the differences that I see, that I'm useless. And Paul says here in Scripture, you know, the ailment that's going on in the church in this feeling of uselessness in the body is opposed to the concept of how God established the body to start with. Because when one person wants to be like another person rather than being different like God made them, then part is being missed out. Part of the body is not functioning as God intended. So he shows in verse 14 and verse 19 and 20 that the body wouldn't even exist if that attitude prevails. It is important for you and I to realize that differences in the church are there on purpose. And so it's not the goal that I want to be like you, I want to be like you, I want to be more like you, I want to be more like this person, I want to be more like, I want to have their gift, I want to do their ministry. No, it's do what God made you to do. Function as God made you to do. And so he repeats, by the way, that if all the members in verse 19, where would the body be if all were one member? And then he says the body is not one member. In other words, the body would not exist if there wasn't this diversity. It just wouldn't exist. If everybody was the same in the church this morning, there'd be no church. Because that's what verse 20 says, but now there are many members, but one body. Amen. And that's a repetition, by the way, of the last part of verse 14 when he says the body is not one member, but many right here. So the point in all of this is the very existence of the body of Christ is based upon having the diversity of its membership. We're not supposed to all like the same things. Well, unless you want to say the Bible or be in love with Christ, but we were designed to be different on purpose right here. Now watch his third part of his remedy right here, and I think it's the most important one there in verse 17 and 18, because he says, you know, somebody might say, well, Tom, I've heard what you've said so far this morning, I really did listen, but it's not really compelling to me. You haven't made a real good argument right here, because I still feel useless. Well, Paul figured somebody would think that way. I still don't feel like I'm important, that I'm needful. I mean, wow, the body has two similar hands and two similar eyes and eight similar fingers and two thumbs. And so it wouldn't hurt anybody if I would just disappear. Oh, If I can't be more like somebody else, I'll leave. Oh. You know, sometimes you'd like to tell people to grow up, but instead we'll tell them to look to Scripture. Okay? Because to that, watch what Paul responds here. He says in verse 17 and 18, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body was hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Now so far, it kind of sounds like the remedy that Paul is giving is kind of neat right here. In verse 19, a person who says, I'm just useless, that I'm not important, could say, well, you know, I didn't say I wanted the whole body to be an eye. I didn't say that I wanted the whole body to be an ear. I didn't say that. I mean, Paul's saying, that's exactly what you're saying. When you're trying to be like somebody else instead of being who you are, because now he says, but now God has placed the members, God has placed the members, each one of them in the body as he, God, desired. Now, God has put everybody in the body here as he desired. As different as we are. Now, I know it's hard for me to understand that everybody here is not in love with Indiana basketball. But that's all right. You've already got one representative for that cause. Don't need another one. It's okay to be different. God put us together in this body. I mean, we're trusting in the sovereignty of God and in his design that all the parts of the body are here for a purpose. It's for our best interest that we be together right here, and it's for the manifestation of the Spirit. So if we say that we're useless, we're saying no to the idea of the body, but worse than that, we're saying no to God's design. God didn't know what he was doing when he made me with my gifts. Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Well, I can't do anything important with my gift. That's all right. God designed you the way you are for what he wants you to do. It's really neat how the body of Christ is made up and how it's supposed to function. But every once in a while in the church, something else happens. An issue comes up and some people start taking sides. Some of them are for this. Some don't want that. And a whole bunch of people in between. And so when that comes up, which by the way apparently did in the Church of Christ in Corinth, and Paul comes along and says in verse 21 that there are people who compared to eyes and people who are compared to hands, and there are people who are compared to heads and people who are compared to feet. And verse 22, there are people who seem to be weaker, which that's an unusual phrase right there. Verse 23, there are people who have less honorable appearance. In other words, not referring to sinful dishonor, but people who just have less prominence or less distinction. We might say that there's some in the church who aren't as flashy as some. There's some in the church that are not as outgoing as some. All right? And we would understand that kind of language. And so it would seem that with people with all these differences brought together in God's plan, that we would be able to function well together because we have that knowledge. But sometimes that's not enough because we differ because of our differences. Sometimes you take a vote and not very many people are for it, but a few are and a few are against it. And you say, wait a minute, you know, Paul, that really, well, yeah, but we're so self-sufficient and we know everything, and so what we say is right. Paul, wait a minute, how do I deal with brothers and sisters like that right here? So he gives us an amazing warning. I want you to notice this with me. In verse 21, the warning is, don't you go away from an issue saying that the people who are opposed to you, I don't need them, I wish they weren't here. Because they don't agree with me. Now there's the big warning. Watch this in verse 21. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you guys. I don't really want you. Life would be better around here if you weren't here. I can stand on my own. I don't need you. Wow. And that happens from time to time. And, you know, it's amazing right here. I mean, think of all the differences that pop up because we're such a diverse people. There has to be a solution to the difference right here other than one group getting their way all the time. And so what do I do if I'm on the opposing side? Or how am I supposed to act if I'm being opposed by those that I have a lot of respect for and care for right here? And Paul is saying, guess what, folks? It's time to test your maturity. It's time to test your faithfulness and for you to believe, even when somebody doesn't agree with you, they're still necessary in the church. Can you be grown up enough to say they're still needful? And that you want them? Even when they don't agree. So he gives a command. I don't know whether you guys like commands when you come across them in Scripture or not. But he tells the brethren at Corinth, I command you. And the way to act on a command is you read it, you understand it, and you do it, right? That's what we do with commands in the Bible, like the command to be baptized. Yeah, once you read it and you understand it, you do it, okay? So he says, don't you say, I don't need you. Down in verse 24, 25, he's saying, here's what I want you to do. Here's the command. I want you to care for one another. That means if I don't agree with you, if I'm mature, if I'm grown up in my faith, I'll care for you anyway. I'll never say, I don't need you. And that's what he's referring to because, you see, God has so composed the body. Here it is again, just like what we read in verse 18, you know, and also back up there in verse 11. God has composed the body. He's given more abundant honor to some members who lack, and he does that so we can create no division at all in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Let me ask you, when you look around at Waterford this morning, do you have the same care for one another? Is there anyone here you don't care about? And the answer should quickly be no. Amen. Is there anybody here that you don't like, that you don't care about, that you don't need? No. We care, maybe better with some people than others, but we care for one another. We need one another. So the positive command right here that comes from the Lord is whatever your differences are with some other person on whatever issue, you are to act as if you still care about that person. Well, you guys got awful quiet. You care for that person, even in differences. You care for the body of Christ. You care for the individuals who make it up anyway because you're maturing in your faith. You're acting grown up. You're not acting like a child right here. And so the bottom line is verse 24 again. He says, God composed the body. See, that's what we sometimes get out of focus. We think the body is all about us. When the body is what God composed. God made this up. God placed you in His church. You're in His church with all your differences, with all your diversity. And you're in it with spiritual giftedness that God gave you to function inside the body, and God composed the church. That doesn't mean that we're not going to disagree from time to time or be persuaded to, you know, be opposed to a certain idea or thought. I mean, It's not that at all. It means that if we're in Jesus Christ and we're in his body, and we know the stunning truth that God created this body and he put me in it to function in this body. Now the question is, thank you, God, what's my part? And never stop caring for one another. I love how the Bible teaches us that when we repent of our sins and we're buried with our Lord in baptism, that we're forgiven of all of our sins. And we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible then says in Acts 2, and daily he placed in the body those who were being saved. This morning, let me ask you, as we consider and talk about the body, if you've not put Christ on in baptism, if you have not been added to the Lord's church, it would be my honor if you would let me assist you this morning. If you'll just make it known by coming to the front while we as a church stand and sing this song.